Let's pray. Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we ask this evening that our minds be flooded with light. Thank you for so far the insights you granted to us. We ask and receive much more wisdom and clarity. Let every unclear area be cleared in our minds today. There's no error. What we have this evening as we teach is accuracy in our understanding. And all of us together, in our hearts, you see your Son Jesus as he sees us in him. Amen. Amen. Let's have a seat. Just back on the teaching. So we're looking back at the teaching on the sin, the doctrine of sin. One area that quickly emerges, and I don't know why it's always a hurry, is, if this is the case, what now happens to those who have not heard the gospel? Why is that the first question? I think that's too curious. It's like somebody who is in... who is learning health science, or is it integrated science, and wants to know how to do brain transplant? I think it's too early. I think you should calm down, okay? Let's build when we get there. Just like whatever we're teaching today, if you look back the last 10 years, you see that we have laid the foundation for those things to be clearer now. Both, and you see, a Bible teacher, of which I'm not, gains much more skill with time. That is, if you rush to say things, you will just drop information and not necessarily explanation. So it's safer to just follow through till you get to the promised land. And that is not even the promised land. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the doctrine of sin, and verse 15. That from a child you have known, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We said you can't have soteria without sin. The essence of soteria in this instance is sin. It said all scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished, perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And Matthew 1:21, he says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And we said that there was no particular sin he's talking about. And that's the first thing you need to take your mind off. One of the dangers of talking like that, when you generalize, is that you will be so blocked from the true meaning of what you are reading. Don't generalize. Always look for what it was saying, and then have a clear understanding. So, that Matthew 1:21 has no, from his, it shall save you from their sins. What sins? Just said sins. And if you read your Bible very well, you know what sins are. There are many of them that you can always identify with. Well, we want to now take a step further. You know, on Tuesday, we said that what the devil offered Jesus was the flesh. Can you remember that? So let's now look at something Jesus said about the flesh. We'll start from John's Gospel chapter 1, then we follow the trail into the epistles. John's Gospel chapter 1. And verse 13. Before we get to 13, of course, the pretext was about, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. It says that the life was the light of men. Then it says, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. It was not that light. Was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light that lights every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. Or the world did not knew him not. Sorry. He came unto his own, and his own received him. Now look at 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, genuized, the word there, not of blood. Notice that. Not of blood, which is our natural generation. Then he says, not of the will, pay attention here, of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Now, there is a distinction there by saying not of the will of the flesh. He uses a word there which we can call thelema in the Greek. T-H-E-L-E-M-A. A design of the flesh. The word flesh there is S-A-R-X. A word that has been that can easily be misconstrued. S-A-R-X, sax. Just saxophone with an R. Sax. S-A-R-X. It is not of the design of the flesh. So, he mentions what we can call here, he calls it the design of the flesh. Alright? Then he says, and the word became flesh. You know, that's quite interesting. He says, not of the will of the flesh. Then he now says, the word became flesh. Already, obviously you know that that means the word flesh can be the same word but different meanings. Please follow what I'm saying here. The word became flesh, which is the word ginomai. Ginomai means to arrive at or to exist as. The word existed as flesh. So he uses flesh here for natural human existence in 14. Whereas in 13, he uses flesh for desire of man. So the word flesh is thrown in two different ways. One is the natural generation. You know, I mentioned that on Tuesday. Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh. Remember that, Romans 4:1. We war in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:3. In that instance, flesh is just this physical body, the generation, you know, of a physical body. What you can probably just call natural procreation. But again, earlier on in 13, he now says, now notice this. We walk in the flesh. We don't walk after the flesh. That's another mix. Because we walk in the flesh.
I live in the physical body. But I don't war. Then obviously the second flesh will be a spiritual identity. Because the next thing he talks about, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then he mentions imaginations. That doesn't emerge from the physical body. Thoughts. So, the word flesh, it depends. You see, and I need to also tell you this. You see, communication grew over time. That is, earlier on, centuries ago, you could find the same word used for opposite things. The same word used for opposite things. So it is expected that you should apply context all the time. So here it goes. In John 3:6, we can start from verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, that is the word genoa anothing, from above or outside this place, to be born from outside this place, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, when Nicodemus asked for clarity in verse 6:5, Jesus now said, except a man is born of water, which refers to the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit. Now, listen carefully. If you have said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit, we're going to have a big problem. Because obviously, the flesh is referring to there is spiritual. And so, by saying the Spirit,
The Spirit. He puts in, okay, an article. So at that point, I must specify. Born of the Spirit. Born of the flesh. Then he says, you must be born again. So, born again, born from above, which he had identified earlier as the kingdom of God. So, the Spirit is God. Is it clear? The Spirit is God. So that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So, Sarx, S-A-R-X, and Pneuma, where we have the word Spirit, both of them are spiritual. Sarx and Pneuma, and both are spiritual. So, it's within our study that we locate what he's talking about. So Jesus, notice that at this point he's not referring to sin. You know, he's just not talking about sin. Sin will emerge later, but he's not talking about sin. That which is born of the Spirit, he calls it Spirit. Later on, he calls it eternal life. You know, go on. So go to James 1. James 1:13. Let every man say, let no man, sorry, say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Now the word no man is the word none, which is the Greek word medes, M-E-D-E-S. So, he brings in the history of sin and temptation by that statement. Now, notice how he presses this word, and this is where I want you to listen very carefully. He says, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Then he says, but every man, in 14. Now, again, the word here for tempted is the word perazo. And this is where I want you to be. Pay very good attention. P-I-R-A-Z-O, which was used also for Jesus. Look at it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You see the same in Mark 1:13. But however, let's look at Matthew 16:1. Pay attention here. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. So, obviously the same word is used for Jesus. So go back to James. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So, is this general? He says he's drawn away of his own lust. And let's pick something out here, which is important. The word own is the word idios, I-D-I-O-S, which is individual. So there is no general lust. When it says every man, it is the word hekastos, H-E-K-A-S-T-O-S, which talks about a distinction. So that means each man, there's no general desire. Again, this debunks a corporate thing. Every man is drawn away of his own idios. Idios is just like when you say, he that does not care for 1 Timothy 5, his own. He went to his own people. He came to his own. That is, this is about him. So, his own desire, that means that it is individually done. Now, obviously, James is explaining to us, the same way Paul brought out Romans 5:12. They're playing around the same thing. But don't forget that in Paul's explanation in Romans 5:14, which we have been through, he said that Abraham's transgression became what? A figure of things that will be to come. So, it's distinct, yet general, in the sense that everybody will have temptation this way. But then we're going to throw a big question. So he says so he says, everyone of his own lust, the word again, I told you to note that word, epithumia. Remember that word? Huh? Can you remember that word? That's a strong desire. Now, I submit to you that James is not teaching temptation generally. He's teaching the temptation that leads to sin. I would look at that. He's teaching he's doing exactly what Paul did in saying all that sinned. So, follow this through. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm telling of God, for God cannot tempt evil, neither tempt any man. For each man, ecstasos, or the man, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So, by saying drawn away, James has distinguished this one. Who's following this? Come on, let me see your hand. Are you following this? Okay. James has distinguished this one. Because drawn away is the word exelko, E-X-E-L-K-O. Yeah, I think so. Which means to pull aside, is used for persuasion as well. Okay? Let's see John 6:44, where you have that word. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw. He used for persuasion. John 12:32. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. And in this instance, he's still using it as an attraction. But John 18:10. John 21:6-11, John 18:10, John seems to use this a lot. John 18:10, John 21:18-10, he drew his sword to bring out of. Then, John 21:6, they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fish. Then verse 11. He drew the net to the land. Now, notice that this word will deal with coming out of. So, this is not just the temptation. This is the temptation brought to a fruition. Obviously,
by using epithumia and using the word perazo, they come together to show you that perazo means I want to find out. So, I want to find out, or I want to test, or subject to a test. So, and you notice that in James 1, when you come against test, he calls it a trial of your faith. Okay? Here now is referring to sin, which is different but the same word. But look at the application now. It's saying that to draw out. That's the other thing that I somehow just. Acts 16, verse 19. They drew them into the marketplace. That is, it's a change of location. If I draw out the sword, that means it's no longer in the bag. I'll draw all men unto me. Acts 21:30. They drew him out of the temple. Very vitally, the same book of James. James 2 and verse 6. They draw you before the judgment seat. So, that word means to come out. That obviously shows not just an information. What does it imply? Who can tell me what it implies? By saying enticed, which is the word exelco, to come out, which is used for attraction. But that attraction is not just to dangle. There will be an action. Who's following this? To draw out. So, that means that what he's describing here, let me backtrack a bit. So, if we say, James is saying, but every man is tempted when he is drawn of his own lust and enticed. Now, I challenge you the word when. And the word when could also be an English terminology that goes to that or then. Old English. So, which one would you pick? When, then, or that? Does it change anything? Huh? Okay, let's go back to it. When he is drawn. We've seen that drawn is not just the enticement. Something will come out. So, there will be like a corresponding movement. So, that corresponding movement here, which is drawn, enticed, is drawn after his own desire. So, that means desire is not just the only thing he's talking about, but he says his own desire and enticed. So, it seems like James did not just talk about a desire. Who's following this? He's going beyond a desire. He's now talking about the motions of a desire into an actual action. Because he's saying he's drawn, okay, then he's enticed. Let me ask you, this verse 14, without going further, this verse 14, could it ever be what happened to Jesus? You are like, you are raking. No. Are you following what I'm saying here? But Jesus was also tempted. Now, let me quickly run through some. Go to James 4, Hebrews 4. Put your hands in there. Hebrews 4. And this is one of the misleading texts. Let's go. Let's take it together, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Hold on. Let's look at it like this. High priest usually will carry offering for sin on behalf of the people. So he said, but this one is not just a messenger. He identifies with the people he's offering on behalf of. So let's go. But was where? Tempted. Do you notice the word we are, yet was in italics? That would be too strong to use for Jesus. He was at all points tempted as without sin. It can't be as we are. Even you and I cannot be tempted the same way. So, this is usually what makes people conclude that temptation. It's the same way, you know, the way Paul talked about sin. He used a general term, then he separated individuals quickly. So, we mustn't make that same mistake with James. So, go back to James 1. So, is it getting clear? Huh? Come on, is it getting clear? So, let's go back to 14. When he is... So, the man James is talking about in James 1:14, is it every man that is tempted or every man that sins? Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you thought very fast. So let's just go back to it again. It's not every man, but every man that sins. Because this did not happen to Jesus. He was tempted at all points. So he says, because to be tempted and drawn away like this is the flesh. Jesus was offered. And when you look at the motions of the Matthew 4, you know that it doesn't flow with this. Are you there? Are you following this? Come on, who's following what I'm saying here? It doesn't flow with this. Go to Luke 4. Let me show you something again. Verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. The word season there means an opportunity. I think it's the Greek word kairos. An opportunity. And Jesus put a death knell. John 14 verse 30. For the prince of this world cometh. Come on, John 14 30. And hath nothing. Nothing. He has nothing. So let me ask you. So what did he not find? He did not find that enticement, that being drawn away. So that means a desire is offered by knowledge, right? And I can say no. So, Now look at what enticed.
Okay.
Drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The word enticed is the word deliazo. D-E-L-E-A-Z-O. D-E-L-E-A-Z-O. Which is actually a bait. 2 Peter 2:14. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cause children. A bait. Let me see. Verse 18. And when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. So, no doubt, this is like a bait. And then he says in verse 15, James 1, when lust had conceived, when that conceived, which is the word sulambano, S-U-L-L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Now look at the two things. It's the word to be pregnant. That's what it means, pregnant. Now, that it will take two things for it to be conceived. So, he had already shown you drawn. So, that shows uncontrolled desire. And then the bait. When they are conceived. Conceived. That is to be pregnant. So two things. Uncontrollable desire. And the bait. What it promises. So in Jesus' instance, was there a bait? Yes. Was he drawn? No. Who's following this? Are you following this? Was there a bait? Yes. Was he drawn? No. Now, it brings forth sin. I, in God's holy name, want you to pay attention. That is the word tikto, to yield, to throw up. It brings forth sin. So at this point, as the man sinned, but there is no death yet. As he sinned, sin has been thrown up. Amatiah, which is now, we can, is that, of course, so basically, he's talking about the verb of sin here. Sin has been thrown up, then it brings forth death. Now, it says, when sin is finished, it uses the word apoteleo, A-P-O-T-E-L-E-O. A-P-O-T-E-L-E-O. Luke 13 and verse 52. Oh, 32, sorry. I shall be perfected. The third thing. And that's what Jesus used for his resurrection. I shall be apoteleo. It's not difficult to see that James is a very beautiful writer. He's writing about Adam and explaining the motions of sin. Because except you are writing about Adam, you cannot generalize how sin works. Through one man, sin entered into the world. That's the same thing he's doing here. So, we'll pick out Adam's sin by calling it a transgression or a false faith. Who's following what I'm saying here? So from Adam, just like Paul used different ways to explain it, and then he lets us see how sin happens. Disobedience. Lack of listening. Parabasis. Paraptoma. Paracohe. He's explaining the same thing. James is doing the same thing here. Remember, Paul also said that even over them who have not sinned. It's not the fact that he's talking about just one person. So, in this instance, James is talking about Adam and talking about how men sin. But he's not talking about Jesus. Even though Jesus was tempted at all points, but not like as we are. Is it clear? Okay. So, and why was he not tempted at all points like as we are? We'll see it. Now let me ask a question. If you were to explain sin nature, now by now I know you know what, you cannot call sin nature any nonsense now. Pick out sin nature in verse 14 and 15. Where would you say this, that's sin nature? On your own. If you don't want to, you know, sin nature is not, you know, it's not something that passed from anybody to anyone. So pick out sin nature there. Okay, he says, is it drawn away? Right? Yeah, who else? You don't think it'd be pregnant? Is the temptation sin nature? Huh? Okay. The temptation will happen to every man. Okay? So go on. So, you think the sin nature is the drawn away part? All control before you are drawn. No. Because epithumia is desire. A strong desire. So I'm drawn. Drawn out of. Remember, it's out of. So at that point, you don't have control again. So that's sin nature. Okay? Who agrees with her? Or and him? You all agree. If you agree, raise your hand. If you agree. If you disagree, let me know what is your disagreement point. Okay, but it's clear that what he's talking about is the temptation that leads to sin. Right? Okay, good. Which he picked from who? Huh? Adam. Thank you. Now, so by saying when it is fully accomplished, it brings forth death. Does that happen after everybody has sinned? If that's a practical thing. Huh? Does that happen? No. That will be what? When it is conceived, it brings forth sin. The sin, when it comes full circle, leads to death. Is that the same thing as the wages of sin is death? Huh? Romans 6:23. Because wages there is the word, I think is the word, hupson or something. It means something you work for, then at the end of the day, this is what you get out of it. So, it's a cycle. I do something, it comes back this way. So, he's saying here that when it is full cycle, it brings forth death. By saying that death here, it is not difficult to know that he's talking about Adam. Is it clear now? Okay. So, but don't forget, Paul has given us a lead that Adam is transgression is an example. That's fine. So, can we therefore say that the sinner is man-made? Huh? Is the sinner man-made? Is the sinner God-made? Good. Is the sinner man-made? Is the sinner Adam-made? The sinner is self-made. So, verse 18, and that's what he says in 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Panao is the word there. Don't err. Why is he saying do not err? Every good gift. James is distancing God from the making of a sinner. Because it says, every good gift is from above. In the Greek, it's every good giving cometh from above, down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The word above is the same Greek word Jesus used, anew, John 3:3, born again, anothene. Variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, let me run away from this place quickly. So he's saying this one is intrinsically good. That is, this is a good giving. That God cannot produce what is not good inside. From above. So, John 3:3. Interestingly, James is probably the New Testament writer who makes allusions to the sayings of Jesus more than every other person. He doesn't quote directly, but he makes valid references to. This is definitely John 3:3 and 5. Every good gift, the gift here is not a good cow. I know I've explained this over and over to you. Down from the Father of light, no bravery, neither shadow of turning. That is, in this one, there is no parallel. It's describing, and when you use parallel, that means there's no mutation. It uses the word shadow of turning. Very strong words. So, this man was available in Eden. Shadow of turning. This is the work of faith. Shadow of turning is the word aposkisma, A-P-O-S-K-I, A-P-O-S-K-I-A-S-M-A, A-P-O-S-K-I-A-S-M-A. The word aposkisma is faint copy. A duplicate, something that is a faint copy. Say, no. That this is a totally new man. Just pay attention. So it's not old man and new man. It's not a mutation. And this obviously was life available. Remember that the result of this one is death. The one we read earlier. So he said this one, you can't have a mutation. It cannot produce death without shadow of turning. It's not you. There's nothing shady. It's completely good. Is that clear? Completely good. No shadow of turning. The word turning is the word trope. No mutation. There's nothing. He's not a joint. In Nigeria, say join. So, James, remember I started by saying, let no man say, I am a servant of God. For God cannot be, neither tempt he any man. So, how many times has he absorbed God now? Let him ask of God, who gives unto all liberally and upbraids not. He doesn't find fault. So, if he doesn't find fault, he cannot tempt. On a diesel, he can't tempt. If he can't tempt, he doesn't find fault, then there cannot be a fault in his creature. So God has not, cannot, will not, shall not, does not, did not, do not, does not, doing not, makes sinners. Look at 16 again. Then it says in 17,
of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. Apache. Apache is that we are proof. We are the proof. Proof. A-P-A-R-C-H-E. Not in the offering bag. Somebody had a boldness when he was trying to collect the first fruit. So, he had studied from the Old Testament. He was able to get all the fruits available down. As he entered the epistles, I was saying, how would this man? It would be magic. He said, you know, we are the first fruit. Ah. He said, oh. Everybody said, oh. I said, ah. Maybe it's a drama. If we are the first fruit, let all of us hold our hands and drop ourselves in the open bathroom. He said, so God understands the power of the first fruit. Hey. Men are great, oh. And he drawn away. Where were we? So what do you see in James 1:14? 13, 14, 15 to 16. There's a distinction in man. The new creature and the old man. Who's following this? Can you see that? Who's following that now? Can you see? There's a distinction in the new creature. So when he says we are the first fruit of his creature, it's just what Paul had taught earlier. Romans 8:23. Let's look at it. It's referring to the glorified body. We are the first fruit of that body that will be given. The first fruit. Now what he has done, this new creature in Christ, is that first fruit of the glorified body. That's of his creature. What he has created. He didn't use creature for the born again man. He said it begat. So by using creature, what could he now call created? What could come after this new birth? The glorified body, right? So the born again human spirit is that first fruit. Look at Romans 8:23. Learning something? Are you learning something? You're not answering. I'm not fast now. Romans 8:23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the spirit, even as we grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to with the redemption of our bodies. And it's in this light that the first fruit was taught by James. Then you find 1 Corinthians 15:20, raised from the dead, 23, you know. So his creature will be the glorified body. The born again man is the first fruit. You know, the same way, the born again man is the guarantee of that glorified body. Are you following this? Of that glorified body. So the word he uses here is created thing, which Paul, I mean, that's James 1:18, which Paul had used also in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Talking about meat. So we are that first fruit of the glorified body. So pay attention now. The new birth, therefore, so we say, can we say that James 1:17 and 18 cancels out James 1:13 to 15. Come on, church. That is why he now goes quickly. Oh, I don't want to preach James today. That's why he now goes to say that do not deceive yourself. Are you there? Do not deceive yourself. Because in the perfect law of liberty,
of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruit of his creature. So when you now see James knock the head of that sinner is that delusion. A man who has been born again is being deceived about. That in the new creature, you are not James 13 to 15. Who's following this? But is it possible to act like that? Yes. Paralogizomai. So, the new birth, just like the apostles taught it, is not teaching forgiveness of sins as the cure. It's a new man. So, can we say, okay, so the new birth is the cure to sin, or the sinner man, can we say, flesh, this is a definition, you can throw it around. Flesh is desire without the Spirit. The Spirit of God now. Would that be right? The flesh, S-A-R-X, is human desire without the Spirit. So, there is an absence. So, the new man is that good gift and perfect gift. Every good giving and perfect gift is from above. That's the new birth. No variableness, neither shadow of turning. Paul, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Ephesians 2:10. You are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus, as though the old man was not created by God. He was not created by God. So, what God created is an innocent man who chooses the kind of man he will become. So, pay attention now. You are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He said that after saying that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1. You walk according to because of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. God is absent there. Among whom we all had our conversation in time past and in the flesh. Who is that of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. God, which in mercy, with the great love which he allowed us, he has quickened us. So he mentions God there. They now call it the workmanship of God. So God did not make a sinner man, then change the sinner man. That's what James said. Don't err. He said, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift. Say, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. He does not find fault. James 1:5. Are you following this? Are you following? So I said, we can therefore call the flesh desire outside the Spirit. Without the Spirit. Look at John, 1 John 2. So, James again has removed a thinking of an original sinner. Are you following this? He has done it again for you to see. 1 John 2. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. The word there is agape. Amen? Agape is the love of God. That's what you are reading here. Of course, agape means to give yourself over without control. That's why it's called unconditional. Love not the world. Now, is this not James's uncontrolled desire? Love not the world. Agape cosmos. Nor the things. Now, the word things is that in the world. It's wrong. It's bad translation. It's the word H-O. Love not the world, neither that which is in the world. It's about to tell you what is that which is in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Two men. Right? Two kinds of men. Are you following? If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not the love for the Father. The love of the Father is not in him. Look at 16. Are you following? Are you following? All that is in the world, that is the in the world, the lust of the flesh. Epithumia sarkos. The lust of the flesh. So, he's going to describe what it is now. The lust of the flesh. Is it similar to James? Huh? Paul? Okay, good. The lust of the flesh. And, now when you say and in the Greek, it is that is. Well, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. The word there is ophthalmis. I'll spell it for you. O-P-H-T-H-L-M-I-S. O-P-H-T-H-A-L-M-I-S. Sorry. O-P-H-T-H-A-L-M-I-S. It means the mind's eye. That is a way you see things. Lusts. Then he now explains what it is. The pride of life. The pride of life. Alazonia. A-L-A-Z-O-N-E-I-A. The pride of life is the word to boast. To boast. Now, what do you mean by life? We'll come to that meaning. It's the word bios. Everyday living. We'll come to it shortly. Everyday living. That word, alazonia, was similar to what James also used. I'll come back to James. James 4:16. And now you rejoice in your boasting, as such rejoicing is evil. He's not talking about boasting about the things of this world. Then he says, now that word, you will see it similar to, just put it in your synonym in Romans 1:30, and 2 Timothy 3:2, to be boastful. Now, whenever you see this word, it's not just, so that from now you will say, whose phone is that? It's not mine. No. You'll be arrested. Whose house is this? This world is not my own. What he's saying is to take
glory from it. Okay? So he's saying boastful. Obviously, now he says, please, he says of life. Look, the word life there was used by Paul, 1 Timothy 2:2, that we may live. Live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. 2 Timothy 2:4 is the word bios. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So let's see how John uses that word bios in 1 John 3:17. Want us to read that one together. 1 John 3:17. Let's go. Let's take it again. Whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother, Okay, the word goods there is the same word bios. This world's life, living, he has it. Things. So go back to 1 John 2. He calls it the pride of things. Things of this world. Man-made things. You can see why the epistles are not your best bet for material prosperity. They are not your friend. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing a pattern? Who's seeing a pattern? Who can tell me from what we learned yesterday about James? I want to say, what pattern can you see? Where are you yesterday? What pattern can you see? Okay, he said they were hard about material things. Okay, let's ask somebody else. What can you see that is prominent? Any other person? Yeah. I like that word. Esteem. That's key to esteem. Because it says if you have, it is when you have sins. He said, but now somebody now needs. You now say, bless you. Are you following? So it's not saying you should not have. It's now saying there is what comes with the new birth that makes you esteem them lightly. Is that clear? Is that very clear? So you don't run away with the idea that, oh, the more you see earthly things, is your Bible not an earthly thing? In that sense. So go back to John 2. The pride of life is not of the Father, 1 John 2:16, but of the world. Is not of the Father, but of the world. Is not of the Father, but of the world. Then he says, that's what Paul was saying, that if only in this life we have all men miserable, that then what's, many people, I like my new creation people, we have a way of taking what we like. Paul says that if Christ be not raised from the dead, you know, at that point, we're talking about the resurrection of the believer. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then is our preaching vain. That means this is the high point of the gospel. Eternity. Then is our preaching vain. So, that's why he says, be steadfast, be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That is not in natural things. It's not in material things. Now, I was discussing with some preachers
Well, one earlier today, another one some later in the evening. I said, "You finish this." And I was talking about ministry generally. That, you know, it's so funny how people associate that when a man is in ministry, that how you will know that, you know, he's doing God's will is if he has a lot of material things. In fact, some people look at it like this. And it's so interesting that a young man in ministry thinks his problem is money. If I have money, I'll do the work of the ministry. I just need money and all that. And really, it's just ambition that is his problem. It's his ambition. Because if you talk about, if it's money that is what you need for the work of the ministry, then Dangote should be having churches. You are putting too much on it. You are placing too much on that. He's not even talking about praying. You don't need money to pray. You don't need money to preach. Amen? You are quiet. All these things that we have, like this building now, all of this, the moment we start to esteem them is the loss of the flesh. Who's following what I'm saying here? That's how those who are not born again reason. But we deal with immaterial things. What is much more valuable than things? That's why Jesus asked the question. He said, when you are worried and all that, he said, it's not your life. The guy is alive and he's so worried about, he's taken up by natural things, which happens to all of us. This thing you are looking after, does it measure up to the fact that you are alive? Those who own them, when they go, do they still own them? No. People usually come to this reality towards the end of their lives when they have to, when they are aware. Some are not aware. So it's just your estimation. Your estimation about natural things and those things should be so mild and conservative. That is the proof of the new birth. It's the proof of the new birth. So, look at verse 17. Are you learning something? The world passes away and the lust thereof. Wow. This is how you distinguish it now. The world passes away is the word parago. P-A, not paragao. P-A-R-A-G-O. It passes away. P-A-R-A-G-O. Verse 8 of the same chapter says, because the darkness is past, the true light now shines. The same word. Paul used it interestingly in 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 31. Let's take it together. I think let's start from 29. I remember a friend of mine, he says this verse, he just keeps it. This particular one. Let's take it together. But as I said, but then, let's go now. The time is short. It remains that they that have wives be as though they have none. You know what he's not trying to say? He's not trying to say that, say, I'm not married to you again. That's it's then you see that marriage is a worldly affair and don't overestimate it. That's what he's saying. Okay? And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. That is, if you have lack and you're suffering, you know, he says that they that buy as though they possess not. Look at 31. Let's say 31 together. And they that use this world as not, I've explained that word to you, use this world, if you have an advantage in this world, maybe by the virtue of the wealth you have, your career, your educational qualification, how you were born. You know, some guys, they were born into wealth. They don't have to confess into confusion. They say, I possess it. They say, I have possessed it from that. He says, if you have that advantage, he says, do as not abusing it. That is, don't take advantage of what you have. Don't use it. He says, for the fashion of this world, parago, passes away. That is the beauty of all those things You know, I was hearing someone say, we are going to build the largest TV station. Somebody else will beat that. It will always pass away. Have you ever seen the Miss Nigeria of the 60s? You see, that is how your own grandchildren will see all this fine you are doing. It will always pass away. All those people are, you want to, all those things you are going after, I want to become this, I want to become that, I want to become any human, those human ambitions. Whether it's material, whether it's sexual, whether it's emotional, it will pass away. That's it. Even all human relationships. Have you seen anyone that is forever? Huh? Some people don't even wait till the end. They scatter the thing here. It will pass away. Are you there? 1 John 2. So that means born in the human spirit that of the man that is born again is contentment. That is, there is no uncontrollable desire in us. Say, I don't have uncontrollable desire. That is the proof of the new birth. It's the proof of the new birth. We have now what we're going to see, spirit-led desires. Look at verse 17, verse 19. Hope you're learning something here. Little children, 17. And he that doeth the will of God, what happens? Abides forever. So, can we call sin selfishness? So we can say two things. Sin, or what is called a sin nature, is independence and selfishness. So, you can zero in the sin nature as self. Self. And this is why, and I keep re-emphasizing, when you begin to drive who you are in Christ to a point, I'm going to tell you, you're no longer teaching the gospel. And you start saying things that you are, and there's no mention of the glory that is found only in Christ. And that's why they accused some people years back of saying things that look like New Age. That I am an enigma in the new creature. I am a bomb waiting to explode. All those things are not in God's word. I'm unfathomable. They are not actually who you are in Christ. That is sin's manifestation. I am unparalleled. I thought the only thing I mentioned the one of you on Tuesday that on the scales of righteousness. It was yesterday. Huh? Tuesday. So I'm as holy as God. Come. Let me help you. No, that one, let me slap you. Abba. He is the one who made you holy. So our glory is only Him. It's not this the glory of God. We thank the Lord. That's not what we're talking about. A mindset that is fed from the gospel. Just hold on, you'll see a couple of things now. So, let's just run through. And this is exactly what Paul mentioned in Romans 8, 1 to 23. You know, we'll come to Paul tomorrow. Look at Romans 12, 2. Look at how he teaches it. I beseech you, brethren, Romans 12, 2, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice,
holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That is, after saying all that is done for a man in Christ, are forgiven, you have the Spirit of God, there's no condemnation, he now says, present your bodies. He had shown you Christ's sacrifice, and now you present your bodies. Your own is not to die for sins, it's a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. Say, this is your reasonable worship. So be not conformed to this world. The word suche matizo. Do not derive your personality. You know, suche is man's life. Don't have the life of this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you do that, then you prove, that is, you acknowledge that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's why you see in the book of Romans, it was from 12, 13, 14, 15 to 16 that Paul now started teaching spiritual growth. You now acknowledge it. And the first thing he teaches is service. Selflessness. So, it's the proof that you are walking in the Spirit. So, what we call sin nature is a product of human desire. Human desire, and the only cure, remember we look at chata and the word amataya, the only cure is God dwelling in a man. So it takes away the sin problem. That's what Isaiah calls shalom, the chastisement of our peace. The missing the mark. So the mark that was missing in man's conduct, pay attention, what was missing is God. So we call it sin because God is not in it. Who's following this? We call it sin because God is not in it. We call it sin because it's not to his glory. That is the mark that was missed. Galatians 5, 25. So, every non-spirit controlled desire will lead to what? Sin. Even noble desires. Even good desires. Lead to sin. Galatians 5:25. Learn something? Are you learning something here? If we live, I'll start from 24. They that are Christ are crucified the flesh with their affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us what? I look at what he talks about. Let us provoke the desires of vainglory. Not desire of vainglory, sorry. Provoke one another, envying one another. That we shouldn't do that. You discover that the context of what he meant by the Spirit here is love. And look at all that is called the fruit of the Spirit. They are within your conduct amongst people. Nothing glorifying self. So, Paul had mentioned earlier the works of the flesh, which we will examine later. He said they are, look at Galatians 5:19. So the works of the flesh are manifest. The word there is phanerous. They are visible. So, what is called the works of the flesh are things that we will see and perceive. So the influence of man is in the world. That is how sin entered into the world. That is a conduct and series of conducts were introduced into the world. Everybody has a pattern. So they are communicated.
When a man is in Christ, he is dead to it. How is he dead to it? Because the Spirit is within him. He is now told to walk in the Spirit. Else, he will fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. Again, where is the works of the flesh? They are manifest. He will be offered. So, this man that is born again, we'll look at those things, you know, much later tomorrow. The lust of the flesh are available in the world. Look at Galatians 6. See how Paul, having said he has crucified the flesh, see how he explains in verse 14. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world, can you see? He said flesh. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He replaces flesh with what? The world. First John 5:4. Whatsoever is born of God, what happens to him? He has overcome the world. Forget all this place that scripture is used for. Overcome the world. And my father owns the world. That's not what he's talking about, though. He just told you what is in the world. You know what he told? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He said, when we are born of God, we have overcome it. Praise God. Say, we have overcome that. So, we have overcome that. You say, I've overcome. I'm an overcomer. And what you are referring to is actually the lust of the world. Jesus did the first. John 17. So, that, don't forget, the God of this world is who? 2 Corinthians 4:4. In the minds of them that believe not. In the thinking. So what we refer to as the world and the flesh is a pattern of reasoning. Self. Look at all the temptations of Jesus, they were about self. Turn it into bread. Jump, they will bear you. Bow down, I will give you. Self. And every response Jesus gave was to the glory of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Thou shalt not bow to any other one but him. Everything he said. So the response to temptation is to glorify who? God. Who's following this? To glorify God. He's also called the prince of this world. So glory to God. We have a walk in us. We have a spirit within us. We are not of this world. Amen. We are not of this world. So we don't have a sin nature. We have a God nature. Because we are born of God. But can a man walk in the flesh? We'll see how. Paul says that they are evidence. So he expects you to know what they are. So if you walk in the Spirit, you will not feel lust of the flesh. That is, all you need to do not to walk in the flesh is not to run away from the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. So when you do it, God doesn't really love. We'll look at a few things about the law on Saturday. We'll just do one more study tomorrow. Then we'll go into some other details. I'm done.